Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, we're back.
We're back and better than ever.
Easy money.
It's Thursday, our favorite day of the week.
Why is every other week? Why is Thursday our favorite day?
Because it's the CIT archive show, but this one's extra better. Extra better. Because today was the Anarchist Book Fair.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. I got to table and sell some merch. We have really awesome merch at the station. I bought some zines from our fellow friend Cora as well. Yeah, it was great. And it's happening tomorrow again if you weren't able to attend.
Our resident archivist JT also is, I believe, JT's organizer.
Yeah, JT is one of the organizers as well. Yeah. Right now you're listening to I Relate Soft by Movieland, local band from the 90s, a little sneak peek into what we're going to talk about today. But before we get started, as always, the station is located at the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territories of the Musqueam Nation at the University of British Columbia. And this is a show about history. Cannot emphasize it enough, and history is never in the past, and we must always remain aware and critical of the systems that brought us here where we are today. So wherever you're listening from, wherever you're tuning in from, think of where you are and how you got there. So today I'm joined by Michael. I'm sure you probably recognize his voice. My co-host, co-lead, and cousin.
My cousin.
Yeah. I just came up with that.
No, it's true. What are you talking about? We are cousins.
No, we are, but the CCC. We're CCCs.
Oh, co-host.
Co-lead, cousin. Cousin.
That's true. my Peruvian cousin.
Yeah, every Peruvian needs a Malaysian cousin.
There we go. Every single Peruvian. It's government subsidized.
Yeah. It's like every blonde needs a brunette best friend. It's the same thing.
Yep.
The exact same thing. Yep. I'm sucking on a cough drop right now. So sorry if you can hear it. I hope not. Anyways, let's get into this. So yeah, as I said, you're listening to I Relate. There's two different versions of this song by Movieland. I guess this is a softer version. I don't know. They sound pretty similar to me, but you can listen to their stuff on Spotify. So today's episode is all about the 604 Decades Open House, which has been in the works for a few months now.
I think JT said what? Since
September.
September, yeah.
But what is the 604 Decades Open House, you may ask? So it's basically an exhibition happening this Saturday,
yep.
March 29th at 604 Records.
Mm-hmm. 795 East Cordova.
Yes. And they're going to be showcasing archived issues of Discorder and Exclaim. Basically a bunch of pretty cool print media from the early 90s scene in Vancouver. And they're specifically going to look at bands like the Spitfires, the New Pornographers, and the Smugglers. Mm-hmm. And there's also going to be a panel discussion featuring Grant Lawrence, who is a CBC host and a musician. Stephen Hamm, who used to be in the Evaporators, which is Nardwuar's band. Lana Rima, who co-owns one of our beloved local venues, Lana Luz. Mm-hmm. And Stuart Durden.
He's a reporter for the Vancouver Sun and reports on the arts.
Yes.
I believe he's been doing this for a while.
And finally, Jonathan Simkin, who is president of 604 Records. So it's a stacked lineup. There's that, and then there's going to be a performance by Movieland and 64 Funny Cars, another 90s Vancouver band.
And Stephen Hamm.
Theremin, man. And yeah, it'll be fun. So Michael and I will be there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come hang out with us and talk about the archives and the 90s scene.
Be there. And most importantly, guys, this event is free.
It's free.
It is free. You are paying $0 out of your bank pocket. You will not have to finance this on DoorDash like you do for your late night burritos with Klarna. Guys,
Michael has a point.
What are you guys doing if you are not coming?
Yeah. And it's also Juno Fest. It's a big weekend. So it's Juno Fest. And this event is in partnership with the Junos as well. So the Junos are on Sunday. And then Juno Fest is it Friday and Saturday? I actually don't know.
I'm not sure.
But I will be going to Juno Fest. Specifically looking forward to Mock Media Set at 1 a.m. One of my favorite local lists are from Vernon. But I love Mock Media. Shout out Mock Media. So for those of you not familiar with 604 Records, they're one of the biggest record labels in the country.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
In the city, in the province for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been around since when? Was it like 2001? 2002.
2001, yeah.
2001. And so it was Chad Kroeger of Nickelback and Jonathan Simkin who started the label. And
yeah, before this, Jonathan Simkin was an attorney. He was the founder of Simkin Artist Management. And they launched, they started the company in 2001 and then they launched the record label in 2002.
And they signed Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah.
Which was a big ka-ching moment.
A massive ka-ching moment.
For them.
And so now they've relocated to a larger office. And now they have 604 Studios, where they have, according to their Wikipedia page, two recording studios, a soundstage, and their own in-house production team, which is crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So it'll be fun.
And right now they have guys like Josh Ramsey, Marianas Trench, Andrew Hyatt, and I believe we will talk about more of their more recently signed artists in the interview we'll talk about later.
Side note, I love how I can still listen to Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen. Like, I feel like I hear it in an Uber, in the pharmacy, like everywhere to this day. And it came out, what, like over 10 years ago? It came out 2012. I remember it was fifth grade. And I remember watching that music video in class. I remember watching a lot of music videos in class, like Gangnam Style too.
Gangnam Style.
That was like a crazy cultural moment.
Yeah. I remember, that's how I found out what Canada was.
By what?
Call me maybe.
Oh, really?
Because I had no idea Canada was a country.
That's all you need to know about Canada.
And
I
then
think.
Like,
I wish I didn't know more.
On the news, it was like Carly Rae, the Canadian singer songwriter.
Yeah.
Carly Rae Jepsen's hit single, Call Me Maybe. Like,
she's Miss Canada.
I had to ask my parents, what's a Canadian?
What's Canada?
What's Canada? Canadia?
Canadia?
What is that?
Yeah. If you want to hear more about this whole Discorder contribution to 604 Records, stay tuned after this quick little ad break. Storytelling is powerful. Your stories carry personal narrative histories, build bridges of understanding, and shine light on unseen truths. Your story. Can y'all hear that?
Discorder is excited to announce the release of five unique podcasts as a part of its Power and Voice podcast incubation program. Power and Voice is an entry-level educational program created by CITR to surpass traditional barriers to entry into the medium of spoken word radio and podcasting. The result is a series of podcasts demonstrating a wide diversity of work in genre, structure, and content. Tune in every day from April 14th to 18th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. to hear Power and Voice storytellers share their stories on their own terms and in their own words.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus, located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Randophonic is best thought of as an introversal jukebox which has no concept of genre, style, political boundaries, or even space-time relevance. But it does know good sounds from bad. Lately, the program has been focused on Philip Random's All Vinyl Countdown plus Apocalypse, the 1111th greatest records you probably haven't heard. And we're not afraid of noise. Randophonic, every Saturday at 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Get ready. Here we go again.
Got your mother brought you well. Got your papa got you well.
This music, reggae music, is tell the whole world, you know. Telepathically and physically and mentally and spiritually, we are telling them to this music, yeah.
So you heard it here at Rocker Show 101.9 FM CITR, featuring yours truly, George Beard, keeping the reggae music alive on the west coast of Canada. It's all about roots rock, lovers rock, dancehall reggae music on CITR Rocker Show, Sunday noon to 3 p.m. each and every Sunday.
The love of Jack.
For over 25 years of doing it nice, warm, and easy. Until next time, such time, keep the faith and spread it gently. Jah bless and Jah guide and Jah out.
I'm looking at me.
Bless out.
Your mind on the rhythm and no wine in a ace. Glad I'm up here in a rubber dump place. Dance out.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And this is the CIT Archive Show. We're back. Sorry about that little
technical difficulty.
Sometimes I forget that the volume knobs exist. So, still getting the hang of this, guys. But bear with me. Thank you for tuning in and for listening. So, we're back to talking about the 604 Records exhibition. And basically, so as we all know, JT became like a paid archivist here in September of last year.
Yeah.
And that's
actually, I believe it was earlier than that. I think talks started in September.
I thought that's what JT said.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong.
JT can fact check in the next episode.
Yes.
So that September was around the same time that Joseph Martin, who was senior project manager at 604, started thinking about doing an exhibition like this with archival material, and they reached out to us and they wanted to see if this project could even work. And JT was telling us that he was really excited to talk to someone who knew about similarities between the DIY music scene in the 90s and noticing those parallels with the current times. And I guess, like, overall, like, they wanted to re-release music from bands that were never signed or never got, like, a big chance.
They never got, a massive push, I suppose.
Yeah, in the 90s. And, yeah, so JT interviewed Jonathan.
And Joseph.
And Joseph. Three J's in one interview. Three J names in one interview. I don't know how JT did this. The initials weren't used in the issue. It was the names, obviously, clearly, the best way to go about this. Anyways, love a J name though, don't get me wrong. But so JT interviewed Jonathan and Joseph, and there's also Jasper too in this whole mix of things, which is
so
really
we have
funny.
four J's.
Dream blunt rotation.
Dream blunt rotation.
So
I feel like sharing a blunt with Jasper would be fun. I'm not gonna lie.
I think it would be pretty awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Shout out Jasper. Yeah, so this issue came out November, right? It's a November issue. And
yes.
JT interviewed Jonathan and Joseph. And it's such a good interview. I highly recommend anybody interested in the 90s Vancouver rock scene to read it, because I really don't know a lot about it. Like, I wasn't there. I know about the scene as of 2021, which is when I moved here.
Mm.
And as far as I know, there was like a big boom in bands after COVID. Before COVID, it was more of a soft indie rock vibe, and now all of a sudden there's a lot of more punk.
More hardcore, I guess.
More hardcore.
That's what Jay mentioned.
Yeah. But yeah, reading this was awesome because Jonathan was a youngster at the time when Movieland was around, and he really liked their music. And you know, it's not like today where, like, if you don't get signed to a record label, you can just be like, okay,
I'll release
my own thing, you know? But you really had to rely on somebody else to, like, it was all about divine timing, I guess. Somebody had to come and, like, see your work and be into it and then give you this opportunity. And it's, yeah, now it's, like, a lot easier. So Jonathan was like, okay, I have a record label now. Let me re-release this band's amazing work that I really liked. And I guess that's what they're going for now, which I find so cool. Yeah, and he says that Vancouver throughout the 90s and early 2000s had a super vibrant music scene. And he thought, like, oh, shit, like, nobody's documenting this. And the Toronto scene is always talking about their past. And he feels like for some reason Vancouver seems almost embarrassed of itself, you know? And so he really wants to shine a light on these bands and, like, what the music scene was like. So I think this exhibition is, like, such a cool opportunity to do that. Like, if you're in the music scene now, I don't know. I find it so interesting to delve into that in the 90s because I think I also like a lot of music from the 90s.
One of my favorite parts of this interview is that Jonathan says, so he gets this idea. He's like, you know what? I have a record label now. I can do this. I have the power to do this. And shine a spotlight because the way he describes is like he felt like this band just didn't get their fair shake. Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently what happened was he calls Alan from Movieland. And he asks him, like, hey, do you still have the masters, by the way? Do you still want to, like, put a record out? Because if you, like, look on Spotify, I believe, like, their record Then and Now, it only came out in, like, I think 2022. That's what it's listed as.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, a compilation. It's not really, like, released in 2022. It's just, like, it's just a compilation of the earlier recordings. And then they're going to release Now and Then this year on 604. That's what Jonathan was referring to. But apparently, the guy's response to, like, do you still have the masters is, dude, you know I'm in my 50s.
Yeah. And it must have caught him off guard, you know?
Probably. The guy probably has, like, a mortgage and three kids.
Yeah, like, but I live for this shit. That's so awesome. Like, what a cool blast from the past. And I think it's so cool to notice the parallels in, like, the spirit of DIY now and then. Like, I love that still prevails, maybe in a different way. But I think it's really inspiring.
Yeah, that's the thing he mentions, that, like, that we're just going to have to do it ourselves and we'll use whatever tools we have at our disposal. That mentality really still stays the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we found out about this recording
Top
Secret, Radio Thunderbird, live from Thunderbird Hell.
Yeah.
Cinema of the show. So Movieland played, and it's also a Nardwar interview, but it's a live set. And we have a little snippet of it for you guys.
Movieland? Movieland! Okay, Movieland! Oh, next week we have the band Truck. T-R-U-K, Truck. Okay, Movieland!
Movieland?
What's after Truck? After T-R-U-K! Not before we say, okay, Movieland, play the blues!
We'll be right back. Listening to CITR, and we're Movie Land. And in case you're listening to the Bryan Adams Show, don't listen to us. Get off C-Fox. Listen to us.
Yeah, but if they're listening to another station, they can't hear you say that.
Oh, shut up.
So that was Rant.
Bye.
By Movie Land. Live performance of Rant, Vancouver-based music group Movie Land, for live from Thunderbird Radio Hell, which still exists to this day. It's a show that still exists.
That was in 1992.
1992. Yeah. And I loved hearing their voices there and Nardwar presenting them too.
Nardwar sounds so... He sounds like Mickey Mouse in that one. He sounds so youthful.
His voice has changed a bit. Yeah. So we thought we'd give you a quick overview of the stuff that we selected for the exhibition. So this was mostly JT contacting Joseph.
Yes, Joseph and 604.
And Michael, myself, and Alex gave them a few ideas for the exhibition and selected a couple things. And I guess, should we start with the...
Also, shout out to the other Reading Room volunteers.
Yes.
Selena as well.
Selena, Sophia.
Larissa.
Nolan is in there once in a while, too.
In a while. And our new co-presidents, in case you guys haven't got the news, Danny LaRose and Jay Balick.
Yeah.
There we go.
Shout out. What a great team. So, yeah, that's why we're here, you know, to help you dig to help you with any inquiries about the past here, and we're always learning, continuing to learn, and this is one of those opportunities that has, where we've gotten learns, you know?
Yeah, so, no, honestly, when JT came to me with, like, asking me if I want to get involved with the project, I was like, absolutely.
Heck yes.
That looks so... Also, guys, there are a bunch of other really cool interviews in here that we didn't get the chance to put in.
Yeah.
For example, if you dig in the early 90s, there is a Bjork interview just before she went solo, too.
Oh.
So I would highly recommend you look into that. And, like, I barely scratched the surface with it. There's so much more cool stuff in there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Reminder that the open collections... The UBC Open Collections are public to anyone. You can just Google like Discord or Open Collections UBC, and then you'll have the entire collection. You can search by like words. You can search by years. There's a lot of cool material. Yeah, I always like to remind people. But if you can't access them, feel free to contact me. You can send me an email, archivescollective@catr.ca, and I can point you in the right direction.
We have.
I'd be happy to send you some PDFs of the material we're discussing today. There's also the Instagram where we post some visuals, the_CAT archive show.
Also, we have our reading rooms on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Yeah, so 2 to 4 p.m.
Yep.
If you want to look at the physical material, which is also really cool and more of a sensory experience with smell.
Smell.
Touch and dust.
Touch and dust. No, we take good care to make sure
that
this will last far longer than we're here.
That's the work of an archivist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I wanted to talk about, there's a March 1992 issue of Discorder, where it's a Movieland, their first show ever reviewed by Mr. Mullen, who I believe is Bill Mullen, and he's kind of an urban legend to me. Bill Mullen, if you're listening to this, I want to meet you. And talk to you, because as far as I know, he's kind of a recurring character.
He's a recurring character. You're talking about him like he's like on The Simpsons.
In the station, in the lore of the station, been around for a while, still has their show.
It's been
around for a long time.
Too often, so I'm pretty sure I've seen Bill around. what's up,
urban
Bill?
Legend. Anyways, so there's this review of the first ever Movieland show, and this was Saturday, February 8th of 1992. And it happened at this venue called 1080. I don't know anything about this venue. First time I hear about it. It was located downtown, and it was just like a random house.
It was just a house.
It was a certain, I'm quoting, certain rundown house on a certain downtown street where the residents happened to throw the occasional serious party. And the gig just kind of happened. They'd been rehearsing across the street all evening, and they were invited to the party anyway. So they were like, what the hell, let's play. it was free. There was no hype, no posters, no ticket price, absolutely free. And I'm going to read a bit of the review. Mullen says, the important thing and the only reason I bothered writing this review is that Movieland were hot.
What? Whoa.
Sure. Okay. The songs were mostly underwritten and complete, and sure, Al probably made up most of the lyrics on the spot, and sure, the second guitarist had to be shown the chord progressions before each tune, but who fucking cares about any of that if it worked, which it did. And they were raw to the bone, gutsy and hard, solidly psychedelic, and showing no fear of the audience that lurked mere inches from their noses. To quote their final tune, a kind of bad, definitely effed up, lyrically reworked version of Smells Like Teen Spirit, it's what punk rock is all about. So yeah, it seemed like a really good gig. Their first ever gig.
It was a half-hour gig at 1080. And my favorite part is, like, he says, does this mean Movieland is going to be the next big thing? Fuck if I know or if I care. There we go.
For real. And this is why it can be the next big thing with the technology we have.
The next big thing.
And the retrospective initiative.
If you come to the open house on Saturday,
you will see them play.
Exactly.
Yes. And they have a really long song.
Make Movieland the next big thing.
Yeah. They have their longest song, something they called E, which actually stands for... I found it on Spotify.
Did you?
Yeah. Everything.
Oh, okay.
It's 9 minutes and 40 seconds long. Maybe we'll have time to play it.
Mm-hmm.
If not, go listen to it. Cool. Everything by Movieland. It's on Spotify.
It's very, very good. We were listening to it while prepping for the episode.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Michael, we want to talk about that Shindig thing?
Yes. Yeah, so, naturally, where else to graduate from performing a half-hour gig impromptu at 1080 than to go to the hottest battle of the bands in all of Canada and all of North America? Shindig. So, this was compiled. They were mentioned in two different issues of Discorder. The first in November 1992, and the second in January 1993. And good God, it is like a tale of two halves. My word. It's not even just like stylistically. It's like literally, it sounds like they magically learned how to play music in between sets. The first one was described. Also, funny enough, the person who wrote this, Grant Lawrence, described the MC of the night, Chris Urin, as a 275-pound Zeppelin-like carcass on stage. I was like, good.
Whoa.
I was like, good God. The times have really changed. They were portrayed as, like, this big rock thing, basically. He compared them to, like, Neil Young and Nirvana. Mm. And he said, lots of guitar and wailing vocals, an avalanche-like rhythm section of a flat-sounding bass and boom, boom, ba-doom drums. But it was not very glowing. He described it as a rough overall band and an embarrassing display of over-emotion, which I feel like that's a bit... That's just harsh, you know what I mean? Like, what do you mean by an embarrassing
display? They were really harsh back in the day with reviews.
I feel that's a bit crazy. So I believe that's, like, their first performance at Shindig, like, at the first rounds. Because right now it's just, like, semifinals, and then you just go straight to the finals, right?
I think so.
Whereas, I guess back then in the 90s when they were first starting, it was a much more comprehensive process, and I suppose there were a lot more bands playing. And what happened was, on the January 1993 issue, it seems like their style just changed, because now they were described as, like, a North American Stone Roses, which really confused me.
What?
Because...
What is that going to sound like? Wait, this is for Movieland. Oh.
Yeah. So they went from a crap, over-embarrassing, over-emotional band that sounds like Nirvana or Neil Young.
I cannot picture that.
To Stone Roses. And they describe them as music that can make you feel happy and alive, which is a crazy 180. This is how you write a review.
I guess that's kind of what the Stone Roses...
Yeah, that's what they...
Feels like, but North American Stone Roses, I wonder if that would entail
that's
it
crazy.
Having a different
it said, their song Burn You is one of the best songs I've heard in a good while from a local act.
Whoa.
Movieland was nothing short of great, and after this night, we'll definitely be hearing them at the finals. And make it to the finals they did. Unfortunately, they placed second.
Okay.
And
Good enough. Congrats.
They lost to Brand New Unit, and their grand prize was... What do you think their grand prize was?
A pig's head.
A pig's head? That would be nice. No. What they received was 48 hours of 16-track studio time at Big Boss Sound.
Oh, sick.
And, more importantly, a $100 gift certificate from not just another music shop.
Wow.
That could probably buy you an eighth of a guitar.
I think that's a really valuable prize, like, as we were talking about, like, studio time, I feel like so valuable back in the day when not a lot of people, like, you don't have all that software that could easily have access to and produce your work yourself, so that's pretty awesome. What was the name of the song you said that the review said was really good?
It was called Burn You.
Ooh, I don't see it on Spotify. I wonder if they're going to re-release it.
Well, yeah, because they're going to release Now and Then this year.
Oh, it would be...
So let's see.
We can ask them about it.
We can ask them about it
Saturday
at the open house. There we go.
They might perform it even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like the main guy is this guy called Alan.
Alan.
He's like the lead vocalist and the guitar player.
Mm.
And I guess this is like his kind of baby, because I can't really... They're not really talking about the other band members too much. Yeah.
We'll have to find out. Are they a three-piece? From the photos that I've seen, it looks like they're a three-piece band.
Yeah, I think on Spotify it shows like they have.
But it might not be the case. Yeah. Well, we will ask them.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Another review that we looked at for this exhibition is of this band Pure. They were relatively big for a local band back in the day. Was this 1992 as well? 1993. Or they were nominated for the Juno. What year was that?
1993. Which is insane. They were nominated for Breakthrough Group of the Year.
Yeah. And that was the last time that award was awarded, right? Like, that was, I think, what I saw on Wikipedia, that was like the last time.
That was the last time, yeah.
And then they decided that they didn't need an award for Breakthrough.
You know why? Because they realized, guys, we screwed up. We should have given it to Pierre. Instead, we gave it to... I don't even know who they gave it to.
They might have. I don't know.
It would be hilarious if they gave it to, like, one of the greatest artists of all time. It's like, oh, maybe we didn't.
Yeah. So, this is in... What month? What year is this? Let me double check. Sorry. Yeah, September 1993. So this is in the under review section, which is like where, like the review section of this quarter that still exists.
Dude, Celine Dion hosted the Junos in 1993.
No way.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, and Celine Dion received the most nominations.
Of course.
There we go. So she was the host. She was giving herself the awards, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, so this review talks about Pure and Moist. In this venue called the Town Pump. Not heard of it. Not sure it exists anymore. But this was Saturday, July 29th. And after Moise played, Pure went on. And according to this interview, written by Kelowna Vincent, shout out Kelowna Vincent, for the most part, Pure gave the crowd a tightly knit, high-energy performance. The high point of the evening came at the very end with a cover version of Kiss's Rock and Roll All Night. Unfortunately, they fucked it up. Someone stopped playing, and it all just ended abruptly.
Oh, wait, what? Like, someone just...
It just ended abruptly, the cover, and then that's how the night ended, which I find incredibly funny. However, the audience couldn't care less as they were too fully entangled in the Pure experience. Let's listen to Pure.
Oh yeah. So you're after the politics. A special bag of dirty tricks. Spend more time on your golf game than you ever did with your kids. Out of her fingers, yeah. You never told me it's such a blast.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is the CIT Archive Show, and you just heard the song Blast by Pure off their album Purephernalia. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we play that song, I don't know if I even mentioned it earlier, it's because it's going to be part of the exhibition at 604 Records this Saturday. The band is also mentioned in the interview that JT did with Joseph. Definitely read that article if you want a glimpse into this whole project. And
Pure is one of the other acts that 604 Records will be re-releasing their stuff for.
Yes.
So yeah, along with Movieland.
Along with Movieland.
There we go.
Yeah. So another contribution that actually this is the one that Michael and I found together, right?
This is the one that we found together.
What is it, Michael?
It is, do you know who Blaine Thurier is, Sophie?
Yeah, is it ex-member of the New Pornographers?
That is ex-member.
What did he play again?
Like his instrument?
Yeah.
Synth.
Synth. Like his instrument?
Synth.
Yeah.
Like, what do you play again?
So, yeah, Blaine Thurier is now a filmmaker, and he had a little, like, comic going on.
Yeah, so
for Discorder,
he had this long-running comic. It seems like it's long-running because there's always this through line, and there's this character called Velvet's Record that would keep appearing in it. And so the comic that we personally found and that we handed over to 604 Records for their open house is a little comic strip called My Brother's Funeral. Spelled Funeral.
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 You can also pronounce it
by
funeral,
Kevin
maybe.
Record, age 7.5. And it's basically this, like, psychopathic kid talking about how much he wants, like, oh, yeah, my brother Velvet's jumped off a building and killed himself. And he just talks about killing his parents and killing animals and how much he wanted to kill his brother. And it ends with it, like, he literally says, my brother was in a coffin. He looked fat and ugly and really dumb. And, like, there's, like, speech marks from the corpse. Duh. I'm so dumb. I killed myself. Duh. And he says, like, he wants to, like, dig up his brother's body.
If you want to read this, it was also posted on the CIT Archives Instagram. The_CIT Archives show. And it's also on the Discorder Archives Instagram, if you need a visual.
It's on the October 1992 issue,
You can also find it online.
Yeah, he says he wants to dig up his head to make a mask.
Sick. That's punk.
And so Velvet's Record, the aforementioned brother who just jumped off a building, seems to be the main character of this series called Everything's Ducky by Blaine Thurier as well. And it seems like it's like such a crude, like, comic strip. It talks about one of them is about, like, his buddy comes up to him while he's just, like, reading the newspaper, and he talks about how his ex-girlfriend has a new boyfriend, and they go into details about why his ex-girlfriend might like this new guy, and they refer to his genitalia, and he basically just asked, his buddy's just like tormenting him. He's like, yeah, do you think maybe it's because his is bigger than yours? Like this is literally this is the whole comic. This is riveting stuff, and he just eventually just like murders his friend.
Takes a dark turn.
He just says, "Would you shut up about big cocks, asshole?" It's completely relevant, and kills him. Like, that's crazy. What is going on?
What is going on?
Yeah, but I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. Try it out. I think it was like active in the 90s.
Yeah. And if you go to the exhibition, truly you'll see them like back to back to get like a gist of the story. Just another example of the lore. You know, New Pornographers member making a comic for Discorder magazine. That's how it is.
That's how it is.
We will also be displaying actual physical copies of certain covers from the 90s. And they're also on the Instagram if you want to take a look at them. But you'll be able to see them physically. So that's going to be cool. Saturday, March 29th. We're not getting paid to to sponsor this, by the way.
It's not a paid plug.
No. Just come look at cool archival stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you'll see the both of us.
Yep.
That's what's important here.
Exactly. So it looks like our time is almost coming to an end. We did want to play one more song.
The legendary E.
The E song that we mentioned before in the Movieland review by written by Mr. Mullen. It's a 9-minute song. We're gonna listen to it a little bit. But yeah, as always, thank you for tuning in. This has been a good one. Have a fun Junos weekend. Enjoy your Thursday. Come to the Anarchist Book Fair happening tomorrow as well. There's amazing vendors. And Saturday, come see cool print material.
Watch the Junos on Sunday.
Yeah. What else? Am I missing anything going on?
I don't think so. What else would be? What else matters?
I don't know.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing matters.
It's just the open house. The open house, the Junos.
Take care of yourselves.
Seeing me, Sophie, and JT.
Yeah. And, like, please, like, reach out to us. Like, Michael and I just got here. we don't know a lot about the history, and, like, we're trying to learn. So, if you have, like, any requests for episodes.
Yeah. If you'd like to come on.
Come on and, like, have any cool stories for us. We would love to have you on. Email archivescollective@citr.ca or Instagram @_CIT_archiveshow. We have an archive section in the website too. So thank you for tuning in and for bearing with us. Sorry if you could hear my cough drop shuffling.
Sorry if you could hear my my laptop's deep breathing. It's on its last legs.
It's all part of the soundscape here, you know.
Exactly.
We're setting the tone. We're here. It's Studio A. What time is it? 6:49. Yeah. Oh yeah, and stay tuned for the next show coming up, Azúcar Morena. Mm. We're gonna listen to Everything by Movieland. Happy Thursday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.